Thank you, Mr. Judson, Mr. Nettles. Happy Sabbath, everyone. What a great time of year. You can feel the buzz. Everybody's excited about the feast. And we had inspiring messages from the Day of Atonement. And there's a lot that have already left for the Feast of Tabernacles, and there are several that are here from other various locations. Welcome to all our guests today. We'll be leaving tomorrow, and certainly looking forward to the feast down in Puerto Vallarta, Mexico. But you know, we're in the midst of a time when this pictures the Holy Day season, where we get away from Satan's influence, and a world when Christ will reign supreme. And so much of the world roils in agony right now, with so many events happening across the globe. But we're focused on a future that's different. And what a glorious time for us today. What a glorious time that God has allowed us to know what His future holds. A time when there no longer be a Satan. And the Day of Atonement, the Feast of Trumpets, will be something that's in the past rather than symbolism of what we have right now. And God will rule absolute. You know, it's interesting when we think about trumpets and Christ announcing His return, atonement, becoming one with God, the Feast of Tabernacles, when Christ will dwell with man on earth, and then, of course, the eighth day. We have to have a mindset of change. That's what this world needs, is a mindset of change, so that we go from seeing that being fascinated by miracles from God to understand that is our realization. God's realization is all the things that He performs, the gifts that He gives to us. That's God's way. That's God's mercy. That's God's plan. And we can't be fascinated by it anymore. We have to grow as Christians, understand what He's trying to put into our minds so that we understand what He's bringing us to be. God is so much more than we can imagine. If you'll turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9, very familiar scripture. It says, but as is written in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9, eye has not seen nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love Him. This book, the Bible, is a message of shed blood, and knowing that every time repentance is granted, the pages are dipped and wiped clean. There's so much mercy. So much mercy with God. And we have trouble seeing that sometimes as human beings. Sometimes we have that seven times mentality. Seven times. God, should I forgive my brother? No. No, you should forgive them 70 times seven, as it says over in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 22. I'll go ahead and read that to you. In Matthew chapter 18 and verse 22, it says, Jesus said unto him, until seven times, but 70 times seven. So God is so merciful in His approach towards us. And we're granted mercy all the time. But it's hard sometimes for us to grant mercy to others. When we read over in Romans chapter 9 and verse 15, in Romans chapter 9 and verse 15, it says, for He has said to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. Verse 16, so then it is not him that wills, nor the him that runneth, but the God that shows mercy. God, you say, oh, that person doesn't deserve any mercy. We don't want to pardon that person. They deserve everything they get. What if God was that way to us? For we've all sinned, fall short of the glory of God. As it says in the model prayer, God tells us to forgive us our debts as we forgive others. The title of today's message is, How Long, O Lord? And how long is it going to take, God, for you to come back? And it's funny looking up these scriptures and finding out all the phrases where it's mentioned. You think that sometimes it's God talking to mankind, sometimes it's mankind talking to God. And you see that there's the ultimate comes down to as long as it takes. God knows how many, how long, and how to determine what events will occur in this age, in this lifetime. Our job is to prepare. Be prepared in mind, knowing that hatred, bigotry, moral corruptness, and anything that would cause us to lose our way, we rid ourselves of. Because that will not enter into the kingdom of God. You can write this one down, but in Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 4, it says, the richness of his offering, verse 4 says, by humility and the fear of the Lord enriches in honor and life. By humility and fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life. Brethren, we have a great opportunity. God has called you. What's your name? You put it in that slot to say that he, out of billions of people, hundreds of billions of people over the course of a lifetime, out of the millions of people here in Phoenix, how many people are on at services on the Sabbath? Very minuscule amount of people. And what is it that God wants us to get? Turn with me over to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. What is it that God wants us to get? In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 and 14, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment, and every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. God knows. There's nothing you can hide from God. He knows what you're doing. We know that after 6 days, if we labor 6 days and then we come here and try to change and be another person, it's not going to work. It's not going to work. When we think of Gideon and God allowing, whittling it down to 300, when we think of the worldwide church of God, and the 150,000 plus people that used to attend services. You are still here. And many of you are brand new. You don't even remember about before 95. Growing up in the church, seeing things and knowing that people have decided to go elsewhere or decided to follow another path. Made great sacrifices while they were a part of the church. And then turn around and just say, you know, that's not for me anymore. But we have a great God that wants us. He's pulling for us with all of his being. They were willing to sacrifice. Jesus Christ was willing to sacrifice his life so that we can live. We can live. And billions more in his plan. God is great. God is merciful. Let's go over to Matthew chapter 22 and verse 36. And when we read that, we see, it says in Matthew chapter 22 and verse 36, it says, Master, which is the great commandment of the law? And Jesus said, you shall love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the laws and the prophets. And we can read the original version, and you can just mark this in your notes in Joshua chapter 22 and verse 5. It says, but take diligent heed to know to do the commandment and the law which Moses, the servant of the Lord, charged you, to love the Lord your God and to walk in his ways and to keep his commandments and to cleave unto them and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. What a great calling. What an absolutely great calling that we have the opportunity to be here as part of God's elect, few and chosen, to serve him mightily, to grasp the wisdom that he wants us to understand. Out of all of these worlds, 7 billion plus people, how many people are keeping the holy days? Yet, even if we know all of these things and we don't have the love of God, the mercy of God, and the understanding to want to do the things he has told us to do. See, he's training us. He's not getting used to us. We got to get used to him. His way has existed forever. And it always will, because he changes not. And that's the great God that we serve. This message has been the same message since the creation of mankind. Now, we have an adversary that would try to get our minds off on every other thing so that we're distracted. But we can't lose sight of what God has in store for us. That great and precious promise. How long, O Lord, do we halt between being distracted by the happenings of this world and focused on what God would have us to be focused in on? His thoughts and his instructions to make them of none effect is what our adversary would try for us to cling on to. We can't be a part of that. We have to determine in our hearts and in our minds with the help of the Holy Spirit. And brethren, the Holy Spirit that dwells within you after you've been baptized is so mighty and so powerful. And we're just coming to learn that understanding. Because how many times have you heard so many times that, yeah, God could have us move a mountain, only if he wanted us to. Really? Jesus Christ did things, and what did he always tell them? Oh, ye of little faith. Oh, ye of little faith. It dwells within you. It resonates with you. When you're on tune with God, when you bask in his light, as I've said many times before, a mirror will not reflect in darkness. You have to stay focused and pointed towards the light to reflect his being, to understand what he has in store for us, so that when you step out of the boat, you don't start to sink. Because Peter did walk on water, but then he let the distractions around him take him down. And what did Christ ask him? Why'd you stop? Why? We have to resonate on the frequency that God has. His message is loud and clear throughout the entire universe. The entirety of this universe, the physical and spiritual universe, this message is loud. But we're duped in darkness. And only when we see the light, only when we listen to the frequency, the words that God's telling us, do we come to understand that. There's a lot of people that have read this Bible and have read it and understand it and can quote it. I was just down in Fort Lauderdale, and I was blessed with the opportunity to speak down there with Mr. Chuck Smith, and he was talking about Ivan Penin. And he saw through the, he was an atheist that saw the number 7 throughout the Bible, the completeness of God's plan throughout the Word. And that's what Mr. Smith was talking about. And you see that, now this was not a converted man, but yet and still he saw the completeness of God's plan. We have the opportunity to understand God's plan in completeness. See, we have to reflect in the light of the goodness, bathe in the warmth of his kindness and understanding, and emulate the greatness that was on display through the gospel. And you know, the 37 miracles that were listed in the four gospels are only a minuscule display of the power that God has and what Christ was capable of doing. As it says in John chapter 21 and verse 25, you can write this down, it says, "And there were also so many other things which Jesus did, the which, if it should be written, every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the book that it should be written." It was interesting, I forget which movie it was that we just watched not too long ago, about Christ and the soldier that was after him. I can't remember the name of it, man. Anyway, he caught up with the disciples, the apostles, and he was supposed to be traveling with them. Of course, this was all fiction. But then they were standing around saying, "Look, look, look, wait, 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 watch this." And there was a leper that was being thrown out of a village that wanted food. And Jesus Christ walked over to him and walked up to him and gave him some food. And then he also cleansed him of the leprosy. And they saw, I love the fact that they, in this story, the fact that they saw that this was normal. Everywhere Christ went, it was supposedly a miracle. What we see from Satan, yes, he has power, but only on the contention that God allows him to show it. Real miracles come from God. Real understanding comes from God, because God's plan is perfect. And where do we fit in? We have to read the instruction book every day. Turn with me over to Job chapter 32 and verse 8 and 9. Reading this book and understanding it, because as it says here in Job chapter 32 verses 8 and 9, it says, "But there is a spirit in man, and the breath of the Almighty gives him understanding. Great men are not always wise." And this was Elihu's speech. And he had let the elders speak to him, speak first, and their wisdom wasn't the wisdom from God. Brethren, we have a lot of words being bantered about right now. True leadership is from God, understanding God, doing the things that are pleasing unto God. But we have to want to do God's will. No one will force you to move forward. And it's funny that why is perfect harmony so frightening to people? What is it about love, happiness, goodness, mercy, gentleness, and all the attributes that God has? What don't we want about? What don't we want? Why wouldn't we want that? We'd have to answer that one ourselves. That's what we're striving for. That perfect goodness that God has. Again, how long, brethren? As long as it takes. I'm going to go through the scriptures that came to mind during the study. And you can write it down. It says in Exodus chapter 10 and verse 3. "And Moses and Aaron came into Pharaoh and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, How long will you refuse to humble yourself before me? Let my people go that they may serve me." This is God telling Pharaoh through Moses and Aaron, "Hey, look, how long are you going to try to do this? How long do you think you're going to be able to keep up with this?" Numbers chapter 14, verse 11, "And the Lord said unto Moses, How long will this people provoke me?" Speaking of Israel. "And how long will it be that they err to they believe for all the signs which I have showed among them?" God's exasperation with Israel, saying, "Oh, how long do I have to put up with these guys?" 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 21, when Elijah was going up against the prophets of Baal, it says, "And Elijah came to the people and said, How long will you halt between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not." They were waiting to see. In Psalms chapter 89, verse 46, it says, "How long, O Lord, will you hide yourself forever? Shall thy wrath burn like a fire?" David, lamenting the fact, saying, "God, I need you." We need God. We need his inspiration. We need his understanding. We have to have that enthusiasm for God, his way of life, so that it's just so much a part of everything we do. This is exciting, brother, to be here as part of God's church. I've sat in this room for over 40 years, and that's, for some people, it's not very long. But for others, for younger kids, it's like, wow, you're ancient, you know? But you know, the last couple years, the light's starting to come on. Wow, I didn't know that. Let's keep going in Habakkuk chapter 1 and verse 2. "O Lord, how long shall I cry? How long will you not hear? Even cry out to me with the violence, and you shall not save." Habakkuk was in a catastrophic situation, and he was crying out to God. But God is keenly aware of you, your needs, and how you, what's your name? You need to grow. You may be shown mercy from God, and God knows what you need, but we have to be willing to do everything that God requires of us to be a part of his kingdom. So when you go over to, let's turn over to Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. Very familiar scriptures. The six doctrines of Hebrews 6. Beginning in verse 1 in Hebrews chapter 6. "Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and faith towards God, of the doctrine of baptism, of laying on of hands, and of the resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment." Those six things that God has required of us just to get started. Going on in verse 3, it says, "And this we will do if God permit. For if it is impossible for those who were once enlightened to have tasted the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Spirit, and have tasted the good word of God and of the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame." God is merciful, very merciful. But he will not allow you to put his family member through the process once again. True repentance means true repentance. Will we mess up? Absolutely. But we have to desire, just like David desired, the understanding that God, "Oh, please create in me a clean heart, O Lord." Let's drop down to verse 9 in Hebrews chapter 6. It says, "But beloved, we are persuaded of better things and things that accompany salvation, through we thus speak. For God is not unrighteous to forget the work of labor of love, which he has showed towards his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence and full assurance and hope unto the end, that you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises." See, we have the book of Hebrews in chapter 11, in Hebrews chapter 11. People who have fought that good fight. We have to continue to fight that good fight and understand what it is that God wants us to do, how he's training us. Because the certainty of God's promise is there. He's waiting for us, if we do the things according to his will. Verse 13 says, "For when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, Surely, blessing I will bless you, and multiplying you I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by a greater, and an oath for confirmation it is to the end of all strife, wherein God willing more abundantly to show unto heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, and confirms by an oath, verse 18, that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold on the hope that is set before us. Immutability, the inability to change. Paraklesis is the Greek translation. It means to implore in verse 18. Going on in verse 19, it says, which hope we have in as an anchor in the, of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters into within the veil. Whether the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Brethren, he's at the finish line waiting for us. He loves us. He's given us a plan. He's given us a vision to see the things that he wants us to see. The greatness that God is, and the opportunity that we have to be a part of his family. God's plan is real because God cannot lie. And the God family is pulling for us in ways that we don't even know. It's in the harmony with the Holy Spirit that we find ourselves growing according to God's will. So how long? A little while longer, for however long it takes until our day is done. Greatness awaits us, and we have to spurn all ungodliness and adhere to the message of the good news. The good news. What you hear on the waves, the wavelengths right now, is not good news. It's not the news that comes from God, nor is it inspired by God. See, we have the culmination of the Passover, the days of unleavened bread, Pentecost, trumpets, atonement, and brings us to the point where we are right now. We're getting ready to head into the Feast of Tabernacles and the eighth day. And it's amazing how many Christians have not intertwined God's holy days with the plan of salvation and what Jesus Christ has given us. There's inclusion for all because God is love. There's inclusion for those that are willing to love, and there's mercy in destroying those that are not willing to do what he asks us to do. Christ taught for 3.5 years on this earth. Do you think he might have a few more things to tell us? Probably so. We see through a glass dimly right now, and greater wisdom awaits us. And that's the exciting part. That's the exciting part, that we have the opportunity to be a part of his plan. And make no mistake, because in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7, it says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, he shall also reap. So we can't live one style of life one way and another style of life the other way. There will never be another Satan. Those who choose to commit the unpardonable sin in this time or the next will be mercifully burned up and forgotten. Everyone will have the opportunity to know God, who he is, and how he operates, and what he is offering to all mankind. We know from the beginning that God wanted to dwell with his children. Can you imagine in the Garden of Eden, sitting down with his newly formed baby boy? He may have been in adult form, but he was a baby boy. And how joyous that was. Because every time I think of new children coming along, and when I see the babies, and we're blessed here in Phoenix with lots of babies, and you see those little rascals running around and doing everything, and you see old crabby guys chasing around, stop that! What a blessing. What a blessing. And you think of God with Adam sitting down. What do you want to call that? What do you think that looks like? Oh, that's an elephant. As my son used to say, an effluent. And you think, he wants to dwell with us. He wants to be a part of our lives. But you know, when the adversary pushes a wedge in between God and us and God, our knowing, our human reasoning, our knowledge of good and evil, it overtakes us in worldly thoughts. Give us wisdom of the world and not godly wisdom. And there's lacking a real understanding how things are to be done correctly. And it hurts when your children start to do things. When they're little, you can pretty much tell them what to do all the time. And as they start to grow, they start to sprout their own wings and start to do their own things. And, you know, when Satan does put that wedge in between you and your children, you realize they have to come back, just like the son that went away and wasn't able to come back. Or finally realize, wow, I screwed up. I'm out here eating with the hogs. Since the beginning of the time, before time existed, the conduct of God, the God family, has stayed the same, because we read in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6, "For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." Please understand, brethren, Satan has just a little power. God has all the power. He's great. He's wonderful. He speaks to you. He talks to you. He loves you. He understands what you're going through. We don't know how many angels exist in the spirit world right now, but we do know that many potential sons of God, through this holy day plan, are being offered the opportunity to be called, chosen, and to become spirit beings. Billions upon billions of human beings who were created in the image of the God family will have the opportunity to know Elohim. The depth and scale of God's greatness in creating this physical universe and the spiritual universe in the third heaven will continue for all time. We look forward not only to this physical Feast of Tabernacles, but the true meaning of what these days have to offer. Brethren, have an absolutely wonderful Feast of Tabernacles.